Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update Podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week and every week. Hard to believe we are into the month of November. Where did 2022 go? Hard to believe we are already here. We are already starting November, starting the sprint to the end of the year, starting the sprint to end of year budgeting, end of year projections, getting the last few units, the last few pieces moved out the door. It is a sprint at this point to the end of the year. The next 8 weeks will go by very, very quickly, and it will be something to behold for sure over the next several weeks. So let's jump in and let's talk about some of the issues out there on the rail side and where the numbers come in at. First of all, the numbers are really pretty flat, pretty even, pretty steady when you look at them. Intermodal, nearly flat. If you look over the last month or so, they've grown by 2,000 units a week. Put that in perspective, 2,000 units a week in a 337,000 a week market, that is one half of 1%. That is literally a rounding error for intermodal in terms of the growth over the last month to 6 weeks. Carload growth has increased a little bit, but it's been driven by coal and grain. It's been driven by the ag sectors. If you look at some of the manifest shipments that are out there, if you look at the closer, the economically sensitive freight, as we call it here at FTR, that really is holding fairly steady. You've seen a little bit up, a little bit down, sort of some offsetting trends for economically sensitive freight, whereas coal and grain have allowed the overall carload number to increase, as coal volumes and grain volumes each have moved up in the last few weeks. It's been something to behold over the last couple weeks. The bulk sectors have really powered overall carload growth even higher. So let's look at the numbers. Let's dive in. Let's look. Intermodal, you can see it's exactly the way we talked about it. It is dead flat. You are a little bit below last year, basically flat, but you're well below the five-year average. There was no fall peak this year. It took us a very long time to climb out of the effects of the mid-September potential work stoppage as folks diverted cargo away from intermodal. That took a long time to recover from. And the hard part is that as we go into the next few weeks, you again have the specter of labor disruption, of labor uncertainty. And so we could easily see an effect from that as we get through the next several weeks. We could, in fact, see the numbers come down rather dramatically again as shippers try to avoid having their freight sit somewhere for potentially weeks as the carriers deal with some of these issues. It does look incredibly likely that there is going to be a work stoppage of some sort as we get into the November and December timeframe. My good friend Bill Stevens at Trains Magazine had a very nice column laying out the issues and laying out the reasons behind a potential work stoppage, and I've got to tell you, I agree with it. I think there is a very high likelihood that we see a stoppage even for a couple of days. And the question will be, what effect does that have on volumes, and how long does it take for the railroads to get back on their feet? How long does it take for the network to recover? Particularly as we get past the election next week, you have a lame duck Congress when this comes up that would have to pass a back-to-work legislation if negotiations are not successful. That becomes a very interesting proposition in a lame duck session. Lame ducks are either very active or they're not a lot gets done. There's sort of no in the middle, and there's no incentive for folks to work together, particularly if one or both chambers flip from one party control to a different party in control. There wouldn't be any desire, any emphasis to speed up the process, to get things moved along. And so just from a timing perspective in the Senate, trying to run the clock out, not being able to pass it on unanimous consent, it would take some time to get back-to-work legislation passed. It would take some time for the networks to restart, potentially. And so if you're a shipper out there, you have to start thinking about that. You have to start thinking about what that looks like as we go forward here, what that looks like. What are your contingency plans? Dust them off, think about them, update them, because it does look like a very strong likelihood that there will be some sort of labor disruption over the next 6 weeks if things do not materially deviate from the track that they're on. And by materially deviate, I mean either there is some sort of executive action that changes the calculus, that changes the dynamics, or if there is a material change to the contract terms that were offered to the rank and file. Personally, I don't see either of those happening. So we will see as we go forward what that means. But certainly shippers, as they say in the Boy Scouts, be prepared. Be prepared for whatever may come over the next few weeks. So let's drill down a little bit deeper into the intermodal volumes. The trailer market really hasn't moved a whole lot. It's been fairly steady, right around 16,000 carloads a week over the last month. Now that is well off the five-year average. It's about 25 to 30% down just from last year. And unfortunately for those of you in the trailer market, hearing the reports, hearing the outlooks for parcel volumes over the next few weeks, it doesn't look to get any better anytime soon. It doesn't look like there's going to be any sort of an inflection point higher as we go through the next several weeks. There doesn't seem to be anything to push the trailer volumes higher as we go forward. On the container side, it really is a pretty flat picture. It's a little bit above last year, but it's 1% above last year. It's not meaningfully above last year, and it is below the five-year average. There's no sign of a peak season. There's no sign of strength as we go forward. And now, there are a lot of things in this number. There's a lot of noise as we think about this number going forward. You've got cargo diversions to the East and Gulf Coast that are much more likely to move by truck than by rail compared to volumes coming in on the West Coast as shippers continue to try and avoid getting involved not just in the rail labor disruption, but in the port potential labor disruption. Just this week, we have the Port of Oakland shut down because of a job action by clerks represented by the International Longshore and Warehouse Union. Certainly, the longer it goes on the West Coast without a contract, the more you're going to see those kinds of disruptions, and that's exactly the reason why shippers have tried to divert cargo away from the West Coast into other ports, into other regions. But those other regions are a net negative for intermodal. They encourage people to take advantage of the shorter length of haul and move those goods by truck, particularly against the backdrop of a softening dry van truck market. So we need to think about that as we go forward. The other big wild card is what is going to go on in China. A lot of goods are manufactured in China that are imported, that come in intermodally, that come in containers. China, just this week as well, we're starting to see a resurgence in lockdowns of various cities, of various regions, as they implement their zero COVID policies going into the fall. There was a headline just today about one of Apple's major suppliers, Foxconn, having the area around its manufacturing site subject to lockdown. That's going to have an effect, particularly as those measures, if they continue to move out to other regions as they have over the last few days, they will have a more dramatic effect on import supply. They will have a more dramatic effect on the amount of volume coming into not just ports on the West Coast, but ports generally. And that is something we'll have to watch as we go forward, particularly as we get into the first quarter of next year. Exactly what does that look like? What is the effect on demand? What is the effect on volumes as China implements these zero COVID policies? So let's shift gears now and let's talk about the carload market. We look at the carload market, and over the last month, it has moved upward. For much of the year, it really stayed very close to within a little bit up or down of last year's levels. We are finally in the last month seeing some momentum back to the five-year average, back above last year, and sustaining above last year's levels, moving back toward at least historical normal. But the caution light is that not all sectors in the carload market are created equal. If we look at economically sensitive freight, it has not shared, as we talked about in the open, in that increase. It has not moved at all. It remains very, very stable. If you look at this on an eight, you know, over the last 8 weeks, that number is really very, very flat, down below 200,000 carloads a year. It is at or below 2001 levels, 2021 levels, which are well below the five-year average, and it is not moving. Now, if you listen to this podcast all the time, you know I've said that that is particularly concerning, because over the long run, as we get into 2023, 2024, and beyond, it's going to be these economically sensitive freight commodities that drive carload freight growth, and that is something I'm going to continue to beat the drum on. Now, to remind folks, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, that means we exclude coal, we exclude grain, and we exclude petroleum. So we look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Lumber and wood, metals, automotive, pulp and paper, those sorts of commodities. And you can see they're not really moving. But now they're not really moving on an aggregate basis. As we get into the sectors, you'll start to see that there are some that are up and some that are down. And when you average all that out, you get a very flat picture. But before we do that, let's talk about the bulk sectors. Let's talk about coal and grain. And you can see here pretty clearly when we look at the coal, you can see that blue line has been up over the last month, and up pretty significantly. We're up right around just shy of 80,000 carloads a week. We're making a run at the five-year average number as utilities start to increase their inventory ahead of the winter burn season, as folks start to look at it, and utilities don't really buy into the decline in natural gas prices that we've seen over the last couple of months. It was down below $6 per MMBTU within the last 2 weeks. That should have cut off some of the coal buying. That should have powered that down. But what this says is this says that utilities out there do not think the lower gas prices are going to stick around for the long term, that we're going to see a need for coal to compete economically against higher natural gas prices through the winter season. Now, how long do we stay at these levels? I've said before, I'll say again, I think it's a 2022 phenomenon. I don't think you get this kind of action out of the coal markets next year and beyond. Excuse me. I think you see it get back to a more secular decline trend line as we go forward. But at least for the moment, coal is supporting the carload markets. Grain, it's not growing, but it's not declining either. It's holding just shy of 40,000 carloads a week, well above the five-year average, 10% above last year's levels. It is the thick of the harvest season, and certainly the harvest is performing well, and this also is supporting overall carload volumes. When grain holds at a 40,000 level, that does support the overall carload result. That does support the markets. However, it is something that is cyclical, it is seasonal, it is price-driven, it is something that goes up and down pretty typically over time. So how long it can continue to support the carload markets will be a question and will be something that we need to think about and address as we get to the midpoint of the first quarter and start to evaluate just how much grain is in the system, how much is in the bin to be able to be moved. Now, shifting back to the economically sensitive freight categories, chemicals down the last couple of weeks, and this is one that worries me. This is one that if I'm looking at the economy and looking at freight and trying to figure out how concerned I should be as the Fed hikes interest rates, as money's not free anymore, this is one that gives me some heartburn. Because you can see, not just are we down over the last couple of weeks, that trend line from the second quarter to now is very steadily down and to the right. That is something that we need to think about, because it's not just plastic pellets or petroleum. It's also a lot of base chemicals that are used across a wide range of manufacturing processes. And so that suggests that there is a slowing. That suggests that things are starting to slow up just a little bit. And we'll have to see as we go forward. Do we continue this slowing trajectory? Are we stable? Or do we go back up? Do we try to push that 48, 49,000 a carload of the week level that we saw at the very end of the first quarter? Where do we go as we go through the end of the year? Will be very interesting to watch in the chemical sector. So, petroleum products. Petroleum products is still within its existing range, still within where it's been in the post-pandemic, between 19 and 21,000 carloads a week. It is moving up. That is true. It is above last year. It is above last year in the mid-single digits, up about 6-7% on a year-over-year basis. But, and here's the but, we're still below the five-year average, and normally we see seasonal strength this time of year. So the gain that we saw over the last couple of weeks, that's not anything we wouldn't typically expect. And if anything, it's less significant than we would expect to see in a typical year. So we'll have to watch this. We'll have to see where it goes. We'll have to see if we get a subsequent bump, as we would expect. We would expect this number to continue to rise over the coming weeks. So we'll be watching this one very, very closely as we go forward. Stone, sand, and gravel, up pretty significantly over the last month, up above the five-year average, pushing really its highest level in almost 2 years, up near 30,000 carloads a week. Really a very strong result, particularly as we head into the fall, as some of the construction, the aggregate demand starts to level out and decline. This is certainly a counter-seasonal move, a counter-expectation move. How long it can last, that's anybody's guess, but it's certainly something that suggests a little bit of juice is still in the system when you think about construction demand, when you think about oil production particularly. Certainly it says that there is some juice in the lime left to be had in terms of production in that, when you see these volumes move up to that kind of level. Lumber and wood, very much a different story. We're down, again, about 8% on a year-over-year basis, about the same on a five-year average basis. We've bounced off the bottom, but we're not growing. We're not growing. We're not going back to where we were earlier this year. We're just sort of holding barely above the 6,000 carload a week level. And this is something, as we get in and we get through the year, we would expect to see it move below 6,000. We'd expect to see it really struggle. Again, as I said earlier, the Fed increased interest rates. That has an effect all the way across the economy, but most directly in mortgage rates. And mortgage rates have a huge impact on housing. And what does housing feed? Lumber and wood. Most new houses are made with a lot of lumber and wood content. So the extent that housing downshifts, we would expect lumber and wood to downshift as well. Another part of the forest products business, pulp and paper, it's really at the bottom. Now, is it forming a bottom? Are we going to go back up? Potentially. But we are holding very, very steady, just above 7,000 carloads a week over the last month, at really sort of our low point of 2022 and really our low point of the last 2 years down here at these levels. And unfortunately, I talked about an intermodal, the parcel demand, and what that means for trailers. Well, those parcel volumes being weaker also means pulp and paper traffic is going to be pressured. Because if there aren't parcel volumes, what else don't you need? You don't need cardboard boxes, and then you don't need box board, and you don't need liner board. And so this is a sector that we just don't see a whole lot of light at the end of the tunnel, a whole lot of reason for optimism as we go through the next quarter and really the next year. But ending on a bright spot, automotive volumes It inflected a little bit positive in the latest week. We're at our highest level in nearly a year and a half. That is basically dead at the five-year average level. So it's not a great number, but it certainly is better than it has been. It suggests that maybe there is some easing in the supply chain for automotive around semiconductors and resins and other goods. Now, I am going to reserve judgment on this. I'm not going to call the end quite yet, because other times when we've seen an uptick like this, we've thought, okay, here's the inflection point coming, and we've gone right back to where we were. So we're going to wait a couple of weeks, see what some data does, and decide if we've hit that inflection point or not. But it is at least a promising sign. It is at least as positive as automotive has been on a weekly volume basis in the last 18 months. That's a positive sign. There's no way around that. Let's see if it's sustained as we go through the next month or so. So to wrap up, I know it's been a long podcast. Intermodal volumes really pretty firm. Not a whole lot going on. No peak season demand. Pretty flat with last year. Carload volume, yes, it's up on an overall basis. Those are mainly bulk commodity gains. Those are mainly grain and coal. Those are not evenly distributed among economically sensitive freight. And economically sensitive freight, there are a lot of puts and takes that lead it to be very flat when you shake it all up and then stir it and then pour it out. It really doesn't move a whole lot. It just stays right in that level set, right just below 200,000 carloads a week. And labor issues are going to continue to garner a lot of discussion, both on the rail side, where we have the first of the cooling off periods ends in a couple of weeks. Others, we have ratification votes due in the next week to 10 days. That is something we will definitely keep our eye on. And we'll also see what goes on out at the ports, particularly on the West Coast with the Oakland action. We'll have to see, does that spread to other ports and how long does that last and what does that mean for imports and intermodal and congestion at other ports, whether that be Houston, whether that be Savannah, whether that be Charleston, whether that be New York, New Jersey. It's something that's going to remain an issue for some time and not doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. So with that, I'm going to wrap up. Thank you for listening this week. We really do appreciate you each and every week listening for this update in transportation. Feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if you ever have any transportation-related questions. This is why we get up in the morning. This is why we get up to talk about this industry and try and explain this industry and provide insight to those of you actively working in the industry to how to plan your business going forward. With that, I'll sign off for this week. As always, I am your host for the Rail Market Update podcast, Todd Trinowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.